Okay, Tov. Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Chet. And we got up to yesterday, Lakelav Tashlichunoto, Tata Mashlichi, Ata Mashlichulot Shenishchu Ba'azara. So it's about a quarter of the way down on the daf, and we're ready to continue. So, Ashkachtino. So we were talking about this whole sugya, about what the din is of Chulin Shenishku Basara, and Mar Yehuda once bumps into Rav Yosef and Rav Shmuel Bar Rabba Bar Bachana, and they're standing on the gateway to the, on the doorway to the Beis HaMedrash in Rabba's yeshiva, and he says to them, I have a real problem with the sugya, because the Braisa says if somebody is Mekadesh Bepeter Hamor, or Beboser Becholah, or Becholin Shenishka to Bazara, Rabbi Shimon Omer Mekudeshet, Chachamim Omerim Eina Mekudeshet. So we saw yesterday that according to Rabbi Shimon, Peter Chamor before the Arifa is Mutar Bahano. And we saw yesterday, Alibri Rabbi Shimon, that the din is that the, according to him, there's no Iser of Hano in Baser Becholah. Today we're adding with this Braisa that Alibri Rabbi Shimon, there is no Isser, apparently, Bahano, at least not Midiraisa, which I'll discuss in a moment, of Chulin Shenishkto Bazara. And now it says over here that because of that, she would be Mekudeshes. So what do you see? That according to Rabbi Shimon, it must be that Chulin Shenishkto Bazara, even if it's Osir, is an Isser Dirabon, and it's not an Isser Diraisa. Because if it were an Isser D'Oraisa, then how would she be Mekudeshet? Now, this is a little bit of a problem, because you will recall that normally the halacha is, like we had in Maseches Pesachim, that if somebody would be Mekadesh an Isha with chometz that was Osir on Erev Pesach only from the fifth hour, so that would be an Isser D'Rabbana, because Midiraisa told me after Asr after Chatzos. And this guy went ahead and he took the Isser D'Rabbanan. It says the Kedushin would not be Chal. Why? Because it's Osir Bahana'a, but it's only Osir Bahana'a Mid'Rabbanan. So apparently something that is Osir Bahana'a Mid'Rabbanan, the bottom line is that it doesn't have any value. So how exactly would he be able to be Mekadesh and Isha over here, even if he holds that Chulin Shenishchetu Ba'azara is Lav D'Oraisa, but how does that answer the problem of being able to be Mekadesh, Yisrael Amid Rabbanan, is also Osir. So Tosis explains that the din of being Makbin on a Rabbanan of a something which is Osir Amid Rabbanan is only in the case where there is an associated Isser D'Oraisa. So in other words, if you're going to wait another hour for these Chitim on Erev Pesach, then Midiraisa wouldn't be Mekadesh. So Mamela, part of the Isser D'Rabbanan is to make it Osir Bahano Me'en D'Oraisa. Masha Inkein, Bachulin Shenishchetu Ba'azara, Alibi Rabbi Shimon, there is no Isser at all Mid'Oraisa. The entire issue is only Mid'Rabbanan. Where it's only Mid'Rabbanan, we're not Mevatel the Kedushin if you utilize an Isser on no Mid'Rabbanan. Because Mikra didn't Mid'Oraisa, it's worth money. Okay, there's a lot to be discussed about this, but I figured it would trouble everyone, so it's good I to mention that Tosfos. All right, so anyway, here's my problem, says Mar Yehuda. Here's my problem. If on the one hand we see that Alibid Rabbi Shimon, Chulin Shenishkru, is only an Isser D'Rabbanan, then how do you explain the Mishnah in Temura? Rabbi Shimon says in the Mishnah in Temura that in the case of Chulin Shenishkru Ba'azara, they have to be burnt. Now, okay, I understand that, look, the Chumrah that you need to actually burn something that was Nifsal, which the Torah is mechayev you to do for Psulei HaMukdashim. It says that you have to be Nisra for Makom Kadesh and so on. Okay, so there was a special place to burn Kachim Shenifsu. I understand. And I also understand that Alibid Rabbi Shimon, even if Chulin Shenishkru Ba'azara is only Drabanan, and therefore you really ought to be able to just bury it because it's also Ba'anav, what makes you have to burn it, Bedavka? That I can understand because he might have realized that we need to make a Gzeira Drabanan. Now, what if people get mixed up and people think that Oh, this guy went ahead and he buried people. What was he burying? He must have buried Psuli HaMukdashim. So they'll think that it's mutter to actually bury Psuli HaMukdashim. And of course, it's not. That would be usur because the Torah is mechayev you to be sorrowful. I understand that that is certainly a valid explanation of Rabbi Shimon Shita in Temura in the Mishnah. But what about a case where somebody shechted a deer? Now, is somebody really going to think that a deer that is being buried is Psuli HaMukdashim? Everybody knows you can't bring a deer as a korban, right? So, if Rabbi Shimon would have held that Chulin Shenishlu Basar as a deer raisa, so then I can understand that the Rabbanit said, listen, we don't want you to have anything to do with Chulin Shenishlu Basar in terms of burial. I don't care whether this particular case you're going to mix up with a Psuli HaMukdashim or not. Okay, that makes sense where you're dealing with an Itzu deer raisa. But, I mean, it's definitely going overboard to say that if the Rabbanan were geyser, this new idea, there's an iser of Chulin Shenishlu Basar, and Bemela will make a gezerah that people might get confused and think it's Psuli HaMukdashim. So we should even say that a deer, which can't possibly get mixed up, so we'll go all the way and we'll say they treated it as if, I mean, that's crazy. Why wouldn't you be allowed? Must be that by the din of the Temura Mishnah, that you have to burn it, it must be that he holds it to the arisa. So now we've got a contradiction. Here he says, Chulin Shenishlu to Ba'azorah, it's a kosher kedushin. And there he's saying that Chulin Shenishlu to Ba'azorah is so much an iser to the arisa that it has to be burned even if it's a chaya. Can you explain that? So he asks this to poor Rav Yosef and Mishmuel Berei, the Rabbi Bar Bachana, who were standing outside of the Beis HaMedrash. He asks them this question. Ishtiku. He stunned them with, oh, I don't know. It's an amazing question. I don't know. Gosh. So they went in to ask Rabbah. You know, they said, look, I mean, this, I don't know. Like, well, we're completely and totally confused. That's an amazing question. So he said to them, you got to be kidding. You mean that guy, Moshe Forman? He was the Palga of Minche, the guy who's always got a question on everything. He stunned you. You got to learn how to deal with people like this. Whatever you say, you'll say the opposite. Right? So, okay, so you got a problem. But in reality, that's always the tactic. You know, I'll ask you something, which is like off out of left field, and now he left you sitting there scratching your head. You basically misunderstand the whole sugya. So the palga ukminche, Mr. Problem Maker, he's the one that got you all confused. Talk about my Askina and the Braisa, where we said that Aliva, the Rebbe Shimon, that the Kedushin is a good Kedushin. It's not talking about the case of Chulin Shenishlu Ba'azara. That's talking about a case where the Chulin that was Nishkat Ba'azara turned out to be a Treifa. Now, if it turned out to be a Treifa, then it is a Shchita She'ena Ru'uya. One of the Gavia Sodos, hopefully from the past, and if not, let it become one now, is that Aliba the Rebbe Shimon, the din is that Shchita She'ena Ru'uya Lav Shmei Shchita. Obviously, there's two Shitas, so you could put the Lav into parentheses. So either Lav Shmei Shchita or Rishmei Shchita. So Rebbe Shimon Shita all over Shas is that a Shchita She'ena Ru'uya is not called a din of Shchita for any purposes. So let's say you shechted a child of a behemoth, and it turned out to be a treifa. Would it be usher to shech the mother on the same day because of usher v'zbenah? No, because you never shechted the child. That's not called Shchita. Lo shishchatu biyom echad, and so on and so forth. Anything that has to do with an iser Shchita is not activated with a shkita that is itself possible because the animal is a treifa. And therefore, in this case, it is not Chulin Shenishlu Ba'azara. It was Chulin that was shot through the head Ba'azara. The fact that you used the knife to shecht it is meaningless, according to Rabbi Shimon, because it's a shkita she'ena ru'uya. That's what it's talking about. And this is Rabbi Shimon, who is following the shita that he always holds. This is Rabbi Shimon L'taymi. L'tanya, ha'shochetet ha'treifa. Somebody shechts an animal, which I know is a treif. I could see from the outside it's a treif. Maybe it's missing a leg. Or shochet v'nimtzei treifa. Or I shecht an animal and then afterwards in a postmortem I discovered that it had a hole in the intestines or whatever. In either of these cases where it was chulin ba'azara, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no iser at all because you didn't do a shechita. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon is matir ba'anav. So now everything makes perfectly good sense. The machlokas over here is not about whether kulan shenishkalu ba'asara is or is not asur bana'a. The question is only whether the shita of a treifa is called kulan shenishkalu ba'asara. That and only that is what we need to talk about. The next piece in the Mishnah was all of the above. So we had a long list of inyanim that are all isuri hanah, and we found a mokar for every one of these inyanim. And yet, the Mishnah says, if you sold these isuri hanah and translated it into value, and you gave the value to a woman, then the din would be that she would be mekudeshet, which boils down to einam tofsim et demehem. They do not create an iser on their money that was exchanged for them or produce that was exchanged for them, right? How do we know that? So the Mishnah says, Mechoram v'kidesh b'demeim mekudeshet minolam, because look, there is one place where the Torah says that it is Tefes' Dama. But where is that? B'negalei rachman ha'bavides kochavim v'hayit acherem kamohu. So it says over there, when the Torah tells us not to be connected to anything from Avedis Kochavim, it says that you cannot be nene from it at all. And if you are, lo tavito eval beitecha, vayita cherem kamohu. What does cherem kamohu mean? That vehayita, vehayita means you got something, mehaye, means to create, like havaya is considered to be kedusha. Mehaya imena, you bring something out of that avedis kochavim by selling it or whatever you get hanof from it. That itself becomes a cherem as if it is kamohu. So in other words, it's the equivalent of the Avodah Zarah itself, which teaches us, anything that is created out of that Avodah Zarah has the same din of Iser. So that means that if you sold it, then what you got in exchange for it, the cash or whatever it is that you exchanged it for, is considered to be Iserei Hanah. But this is a unique din in Ve'ayita Cherem Kamo. This is mashma, therefore, that other Yisurim the Torah, where it does not say such a thing, there's no din of being Tefes as Dama. And even as Yisurei Hano that were sold, whatever was exchanged for them is considered to be Mutar. What do you mean? On the contrary, why can't this be a model? This is a model for all Yisurei Hano. Same way that the Torah said that Averes Kerchovim, which is Asur Bano, is also kamohu. So why don't we say that teaches us that wherever you have an Isra Hana, whether it's Basar B'cholav or whether it's Egla Rufa, whatever the cases are, all of the cases that we had in the Mishnah, Sar Nazir, you sold this for money, then the money becomes Asr, just like Avodah Kerchov becomes Asr. Why do you have a right to say that this is telling us a unique case? Always the din is that if the Torah gives you an example, then we take it as a model for all of the cases, in which case Vinelev Mina, because it's not the only example. The other example is Shvius, that if you take, which is Merames to our beginning Yerushalmi Shvius today, that if you take pairs of Shvius, which were Usur Bahana'a, or they get special dinim, if it's Achaz Man HaBir, they're Asur Bana'a. According to some, if they were Shomur, it's Asur Bana'a. Or they have the dinim of Kedusha, you're not allowed to use it for selling, and so on and so forth. And over there, the Torah says that if, in fact, you do sell it, then the things that you sold it for, let's say you exchanged it for something else, like a steak. I mean, it can't be a steak, become Shvius. But nonetheless, all the dinim of the Shvius are on the steak. And now you have to eat the steak for Kedusha Shvius. And if it's after Zman HaBir, the steak becomes Zman HaBir on a steak? Yes, because of the fact that it got the same dinim of what it was exchanged for. And we'll see that in a moment, how we know this. But in any event, we now have two cases of Avodah Zarah and Shvius where we see that Yisurei Hanah is Tofes et Damav. Therefore, we have Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'echad. V'chol Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'echad are telling me that neither of these is a model, because if either of them were a model, then we would be able to have only mentioned one of the cases. Why would the Torah need to mention two cases? Obviously, it's not considered to be a proper model. That's the point. And therefore, we don't have to consider that any other case is also. That's why the Mishnah says, that it's okay. What's the psukim that tell us? So avodas kochavim, I just taught you, right? Avodas kochavim, the amar, we said v'yisach erim kamohu, anything shatam hayemena becomes just like it. But how do I know that when it comes to Shemitah, that's also true? Ah, so take a look at the pasuk. Yovel hi kodesh tihyeh lachem. Interesting. So it's supposed to be Yovel, which is the same thing as Shemitah, and it is considered to be kodesh. So just like kodesh is teifes es domov, because that's the whole idea of being peder, kachim, and so on, so av Shemitah is tofes et domeh. Now, if you sold Shvius or exchanged it for something, now the stake that you exchanged it for also becomes Kedusha Shvius. Wait a minute. What's that also, Jazz? You slipped that right by me. Also? Why also? In Kodesh, where you switch it for something else, the Kodesh becomes not Kodesh. And then something else becomes Kodesh. So now you're telling me that Shvius is like Kodesh. Okay, great. So now if I have Shvius produce, and I want to exchange it for money, so I can do that, and now the Shvius produce becomes mutter, right? That's a great solution. So why don't we say that? Imah kodesh tofes es domeh v'yotzeh l'chulin. I mean, by kodesh, the whole din is pidyan. So av Shvius tofes es domeh v'yotzeh l'chulin. Why don't we say that also? Ah, that's because the Torah specifically says, Yovel hi kodesh tihyeh lachem. Now remember, that special word, tihiyer, any form of the word existence, avaya, haya, tihiyer, hayu, always means an existential state that is not changeable, because it's not a coincidental state, it's an existential state, in which case, it's telling me it cannot be changed. It stays, bahavayatatehe, it stays as it is defined, and therefore it remains Kodesh no matter what, which means that the actual Shvius produce, Kate said, let's say you used money to buy Perish Shvius, or you exchanged it, let's say, for meat, okay? So now the meat becomes Kadesh, and it has a Zman of Biur, and you have to get rid of it or be mafkir, depending on what sheet you hold about Biur, during the time when the original Perish would have needed. Now, let's say you take the meat, and you exchange the meat for some fish. So now the meat is no longer Kodesh, because the Tihyeh is only on the original Peros, right? Doesn't say Tihyeh on whatever your Mahayeh Mena. Okay, so then the Dagim now become Kodesh, and the meat is no longer as Kedusha. You exchange, so Yatsu Basar, Nichlasu Dagim. You exchange the fish for wine, so now Yatsu Dagim, Nichlas Yayin. You exchange the wine for oil, Yatsu Yayin, Nichlas Shemet. Basically, the rule is HaKetzad. The last thing that you exchanged is the one that carries the additional Isser of Tofes es Domeh, and the original Peres, come hell or high water, never change, and they are always Peri Atzmo will be Usser because of the Tihyeh. Okay, so now, this is all very nice. You said that the Mishnah is based on the fact that we have Shnei Ksuvim Aboim Ke'echad, the Shnei Ksuvim Aboim Ke'echad being one case is Avodah Zarah, and the other case is the case of Shvius, where Dafke, in those two cases, the Torah tells us that it's Tofes es Domeh, which means that all other Isuri Anah, such as mentioned in our Mishnah, none of them are Tofes es Domeh. But that's only good if you hold Shnei Ketuvim Aboim Ke'echad Ein Melamdim. But remember, that's a big machlokas. There is a man, the Amar holds, that even Shnei Ketuvim Aboim Ke'echad, we are Melamdim. So Anichal Aman Diomer Ein Melamdim. But what about according to Mandar who says Melamdim? So we have two wonderful examples in the Torah of the halacha of Tvisa Zedomim. Why can't we learn out either from Avodah Zarah or from Shemitah? Ah, that's because each one of these potential models include a specific miut so that you cannot use them as models. You have to see them as a yotze min haklal and not representing the normal din. Because, look, when it comes to the din of Avodah Zarah, why does it say, ki cherem hu? Hu means only this, that I'm a haya from this case of Yisrael no es cherem. And by Shemitah, it says, yovel hi. What do you mean, yovel hi? Yovel tiyelachem. What do you yovel hi tiyelachem? That's good for what it's coming to tell me. These special halachas are unique to the din of Shemitah v'yovel. But he in But midi achrinei, lo, nothing else is actually tefes as gama. So this, after having listed all of the things which are not shayach to being a kiddushin. So we talked about the inyan of a milva the pruta. No, we had all of these cases of Yisrei Hanah in the latest Mishnah. We have one thing left, and that is where something includes value, and that value is not its fundamental value, but there's value in it. So let's take an example of, let's say, truma. You, as a Yisrael, own truma. Now, you're not allowed to eat that truma. So let's say you would give that truma to a woman, and she's not a kohenes. And I mean, are you giving her something? Well, she now has the rights to take that truma and to give it to any kohen that she wants. I mean, maybe she's got a son-in-law as a kohen. I don't know. It's worth a heck of a lot of money to her. But the question is that considered to be the equivalent of giving her money? I mean, you're supposed to be mekadesh with a shavar pruta. Obviously, I understand if I tell her, beferish, listen, you know, what would you give me in order to be able to have money or peres to be able to give your son? Okay, so then I would be mekadesh with that hanah. We'll see that there's a machlokas whether you can even do that, but we'll talk about that in a moment. So now, that is called tovat hada'ah, which is another gavi point. Tovat hada'ah, again in parentheses, eno, end parentheses, mamon. So this is a machlokas. Is the value of being able to define who will benefit, is that considered to be an actual monetary value or not? Now, this seems to be what our Mishnah is speaking about. So somebody takes truma.
But what does Richie have to say about this?
That's a very good question. Richie has been shut up by his daughter.
Richie says, Zog de Helika Mishnah.
I see.
A bit belated, but...
A bit, you know, belated.
I wasn't invited.
You're right. The last time you invited me, I warned you. I said, don't give me your daughter.
I tried. You know, she's much more influential than I am.
I tell you. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. But next time, listen.
Next time.
You're on the Moshe Forman platform over here. We should try anyway. Okay, so we continue on. And therefore, the guy has truma. Now, we're assuming that what this means is it's his own truma. This is a Yisrael. He has truma, and he takes that truma, and it's not his. He's got to give it to a kohen, and he gives it to a woman instead. And he says, Areya mekudeshesli. So trumas could be trumas mice or whatever it is. It could be challah. I mean, anything that's called truma, right, that belongs to a kohen, or is meant to be given to a kohen, one should say. Or he's mekadesh with ma'asrot, which he's supposed to be giving to a levi. Or he's mekadesh with the matanot that you're supposed to give to the zroah, the chayayim, the keva of every animal that you shech, supposed to be given to a kohen. Or he uses the mechatat, so that's water, that we're going to see that what this means is it's water that was taken properly for mechatas, meaning it's fresh water, it's mayim chayim, out of a running stream. And he brings this and says, here, have this water, you can use this for Kiddush Mechatas. Or he brings the Efer Chatas. In all of these cases, she is Mekudeshes. Now, it's not clear what the problem is with the latter two cases. We'll wait till we get there. But it has tremendous implications for Dak. And Dak is going to be shocked how this Mishnah of Mechatas and Efer Chatas is very much Nogea, his life, Lahalacha. This is a disaster. So stay tuned. And we shall see how the Ramban relates this specifically to Dak. So in all of these cases, she is Mekudeshes, even if the person who was Mekadesher is a Yisroel. I mean, if it's a Kohen, fine, then it was his. But even if it was something that is not his, it seems to be saying even if it's a Yisroel. So what does that imply? The simple reading of the Mishnah is telling me that if I have the rights of determination who gets something, then those rights are worth money. And if I give it to a woman and she gets those rights, I'm giving her money. Now, look, there are two ways of understanding the question, and the different mefarshim understand it in different ways. Do we say that the idea of tovat hana'a mamon means that you have a right to actually sell tovat hana'a? So that would mean that you can go to a kohen and you can say, look, buddy, I've got a lot of truma, you know, and I got a lot of kohanim I could give this to. I mean, there's always Barnea in the background. Anybody can give it to Barnea. You just do it over the internet. He's got a special site.
I'm in the foreground. Rabbi Yaakov Kleiman is in the background.
But there's a reason for that. It's an important reason. So now the question is, you go to a kohen and you say, but if you pay me, listen, I won't take much. I'll take 5 cents on a dollar's worth of truma. You pay me 5 cents on a dollar and I'll give you the truma instead of giving it to Barnea. What do you say? So that's one way of understanding. Is it actually mamon that I can sell? Others learn tovat hana'a mamon has nothing to do with your right to actually sell it. No, the Torah was mechayev you to give it a kohen. You can't start an auction on who's going to get your truma. The question of whether tovat hana'a mamon is merely, do we consider the value of your determination who gets it to basically be something that gives you actual rights in the truma itself? That's the question. So there's a level of ba'alut, which, remember, the idea of ba'alut is a very subtle concept that comes through the Torah in many different ways throughout all of the examples of Parshas Mishpatim and more. Is that considered to be an ownership? The rights of dispensation? That's the question. Nobody's saying that that means you have a right to go to a kohen and demand payment for truma. But the point is that you are essentially, legally, a partial owner of this truma by virtue of the rights of dispensation. You can use those rights, therefore, if they're worth money and you're a real owner. The truma is worth money and you're a real owner. Give it to an isha and she'll be mekudesha. That's the point. So it seems from here that if we're saying even a Yisroel can utilize truma to be Mekadosh and Isha, it seems pretty clear that Tovat Hana'a is Moma. And yet, Omar Ula was just not talking about our Mishnah, but Ula was giving a shir in which he said Tovat Hana'a is not considered to be Moma. So you do not have an actual ownership in the truma or in the Meiser. So immediately Reb Abba asked Ula, I don't understand. The Mishnah says otherwise. The Mishnah says, I'm a Kaddish Betruma, Sibba Maisra, Sibba Matana, Sibba Mechatas, Sibba Parais, Sibba Kodesh, Zafila Yisrael. How could a Yisrael be Mekadosh a woman with money that's not his? Omar Leh, we're not talking about his Truma. We are talking about a Yisrael whose grandpa, maternal grandpa, obviously, is a Kohen. And his maternal grandpa died and had no sons, and he was inheriting grandpa through his mother, and now he owns the truma that belonged to grandpa. What makes you think it's referring to the ownership value of the rights of dispensation? No, he really owns this truma. Now you'll say, but what do you mean he owns this truma? So if he owns the truma, what's the chiddush? Why would the Mishnah be talking about a trivial case? Obviously, if you own truma, you can use it. I mean, tell you what the chiddush of the Mishnah is. The chiddush of the Mishnah is he did not inherit the truma from grandpa. He inherited tevel, which the truma had not been taken off of yet. And now the chiddush is, this is another Gavi thing, and it's also a parenthesis, matanot shelohurmu, and then in parentheses, lav, and then end parentheses, kimoshu hurmu damyan. So that's the chiddush in the Mishnah. Even though the truma is still incipient truma, because it's within the tevel, it's considered to have already been received by grandpa, and therefore it's in his rishus, and he has, therefore, a real ownership in it, as if it was his truma, and it was inherited by his grandson. So halacha b'Yisrael, shenaflo not truma, but valima. Obviously, we could have said, it's talking about a case where inherited truma, but then you would have no explanation of why a Mishnah needs to address something trivial. That's why we don't want to say that. So we say, no, the chiddush of the Mishnah is he inherited the teva. But nonetheless, because sovra matanot shelo hurmu, kemi shehurmu damyan. So we've got a lot of new issues that we've been discussing over here. Shechita ru'uya, or shechita she'ena ru'uya, if it is or is not shmei shechita, we discussed earlier. Matana shelo hurmu, kemi shehurmu damya. Tovat hana'a, is or is not momon. A very rich daf of yesodes. Okay. So the question over here, therefore, in our Mishnah, could be unrelated to the question of matanot, of he confuses me with the waving of the blood in my face. So is
there's only one way to solve it.
I don't drink blood, Barnea. So it has nothing to do with the question of Tova Sana, a moment or not. Boy, mine Rukhiya Baravi Mirvuna. So Stam out of the blue, Rukhiya Baravi asked Ravuna, what's the din? Is Tovatana a mamon or not? So he said to him, hey man, you're asking me a Beferish Mishnah? You know the answer to that. Didn't you learn Kedushin? It says in the Mishnah in Kedushin, I'm a Kadesh Betrumot, Ma'al Masrot. So obviously, Tovat Hana'a is considered to be Mammon. So Reb Chiya Bar Avin said to Ravuna, but I thought we just learned that Mishnah could be talking about a Yisrael, not who took off Truma, but who inherited Tevo from grandpa. Didn't we say that? And if that's the case, then it would be irrelevant to the issue of whether Tovat Hana is considered to be Mammon. So why are you asking me, didn't I learn the Mishnah? I don't get it. So he thought Hutza'a meant as you are out of it, baby. Meaning like, you don't understand anything about this sugya. So he was like very hurt. So Ichsif. He was embarrassed. I asked something so stupid. I didn't think it was stupid. Because Usavar Mishmata Ka'amar, he thought that he was saying, you're out of understanding the sugya. So as soon as Ravuna saw that he looked very embarrassed, he said, no, you misunderstood. I didn't mean that. I meant you are apparently a Hutzel follower. That's what I meant. As being just getting around. Rashi says there's another meaning to Hutzel, because we often find in the Gemara, when somebody is asked a question, doesn't know. We keep asking questions he doesn't know. So then people say, tell me, your Rebbe apparently is a garbage collector, right? Not literally a garbage collector, but a hutzel, meaning a guy who goes through the swamps and he collects reeds in the swamps and then he makes a couple of pennies a day to be able to survive on. I guess that's what he does for a living, because he sure as heck don't know anything. His Talmud doesn't know anything. Okay, so he thought maybe that's what he was saying. But actually, Ravuna was pulling his leg a little bit, and he was using a play on words. And he was saying, listen, in Hutzel, Hutzel is Rav Asi, was the big Talmud Chochem, so Rav Asi of Hutzel, that's how he explains the Mishnah. So I see that you follow him, so you're a Hutzelnik, right? That's what he meant. Okay, now the question stands, therefore, because it's not clear what the Mishnah is referring to. Is it referring to a grandpa, or is it referring to his own Truma? So apparently, says the Gemara, the question of whether Tevas Hanoi is Mammon is as Machlokes Tanoi, Neima Ketanoi. Somebody comes along and he steals someone else's Teva, and he's caught. Okay, now the guy sues him, he wants his money back. So then he has to pay him the full amount, despite the fact that that Tevel includes Meiser and includes Truma, right? The guy can't say to him, now, wait a minute, I'm happy to pay you back. I mean, not happy, but I'm caught. So I'll pay you back, but I don't have to pay you back for the truma. That doesn't belong to you. Why should I give you the truma? I'll give it to some coin. And I don't have to give you back the miser, because that doesn't belong to you either. I'll give it to some lady. Yeah, sure, you'll give it to some lady. Anyway, but the point is that Rebbe says, no, you got to pay him every last penny. So the Masha'in Kane, Rebbe Yehuda says, no, he can't sue you for things he doesn't own. So you only have to pay him the value of the Teva minus the Truma and the Meiser, meaning the Chulin part, because the rest of it is basically not his. So what are they arguing on? exactly this question. Apparently, Rebbe holds that you are considered to be an owner of the Truma and the Maestros, and therefore you can sue him for it because he walked off with your Tema. And the other Mandi Amar holds Tovas Ana Enu Mama. And obviously, we now know that we can substitute the other issues that we were talking about and say that the Machlokas is about that. And therefore, says the Gemara, maybe not. Maybe everybody agrees Tovas Ana is Enu Mama. And the question is, in an earlier Gavi issue, Tvolim Shenaflo Mi Beit Avig Kohen, and the Machlokas is whether Matana Shlo Urmu Kamisha Urmu Kedamyan. So Rebbe holds, it's as if it was already your Truma and your Meiser, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's not considered to make Shurmo Domir. And if you don't like that shot, I'll tell you there's another issue that they might be arguing in. Maybe everybody holds Matonosh Shalo Hurmu or Kamisha Hurmu. And maybe everybody holds Tovatana is not Mama. And so how do you explain the fact that Rebbe says you got to pay him for the whole deal? He's arguing in Shmuel. Remember that Shmuel says, Yom HaShmuel, Midioraisa, you can take a single grain of wheat and give that as your truma. So now when the guy says, well, I'm not going to pay you back the truma. I mean, that's not yours. Okay, don't pay me back 1/100th of a cent. Okay, that's very good. I want the rest. That's what Rebbe was saying, according to which they weren't really arguing on Maisa. They were only arguing about the truma part. And that's the question. Do we say, Mar Isle de Shmuel, that chita achat poteret ha-takri, that's Rebbe Shita. So that's not, it doesn't have any monetary value. Umar let le de Shmuel. If you don't like that pshat, I'll tell you another pshat. Could be everybody doesn't hold that chita achat poteret ha-takri. And there's a very simple reason why Rebbe says over here, listen, buddy, you're going to pay him back every red cent that you stole. Why? Kansua rabbana laganav. Ein chote niskar. Can you imagine? You walked off with $100,000, but you're going to pay back only $90,000 because it had Meister. You don't get places, as we know from Dragnet. Crime doesn't pay. That's the point. Ein chote niskar, and it's a knas derabbanan. It may have nothing to do with this. Maybe that's what they're arguing in. Or I could say the other way. I could say everybody holds of Shmuel, and chitach is poteres hazakri. So then why does Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, why does he say you don't have to pay it back? Because the idea over here is that the balabayit is a no-goodnik. What was he doing with that amount of tevel in his reshus that he had not separated out truma for, huh? That's basically calling the ganovim into the house, obviously. A chover is meant to take off your trumas and maizers right away, not leave them in your tevel. So because of that, deloi ba'ile l'shuya l'tivle, we give him a knas, and he doesn't get all his money back. Anyway, so Tanan, so look, what did it say over here? Said the Pharisee, Makadish b'trumas b'maisos b'matanas b'mechatas b'forpora harezim mekudeshes, even though the one who's giving it is not a kohen, is a Yisrael. But how do you explain that in light of the Mishnah of Bechoros? Because here it includes, now for the we're finally going to explain why the Mechatas and the Efer Parah has anything to do with the Shita. What is that? I don't get it. What does that have to do with Trumas, Meitzers, and so on? Ah, take a look at the Mishnah in Bechoros. Somebody who takes money for being a judge. Dinav b'teilim, every judgment that he has, throw it out the window. If somebody takes money for being a witness, his witness, his testimony is bottle. If somebody takes money for being mazeh the Mechatas on you, if somebody takes money for making the mechatas and putting the paraduma ashes into the water, that water becomes completely pusel. It's no longer usable. Meimav meimara. The water is considered to be, Tosus learns meimara means water that is not mayim chayim. It was taken from out of a cave, which obviously is not mayim chayim el keli. Rashi learns meimara means it's smelly, stagnant water, and therefore used meaningless because it can't be used for anything. And the efer poras chatas, that's cigarette ashes, baby. That ain't no efer chatas at all. Cigarette ashes aren't worth anything. So efra efer mikla. So then how can it be? In our Mishnah, it says you're taking money for mechatas and you're giving it to a woman, And it says over here she's mekudashes. And over here it says in the Mishnah, it's no longer even kosher mechatas. What am I missing? Oh, yeah, Marabaya, there's two completely different issues over here. Kan b'schar hava'a umilui. We're talking about in our Mishnah, not for sprinkling the mechatas and not for creating the mechatas and being able to teach you or to actually do for you, because I'm an expert in mixing and I know all the halachas. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about bringing the water. We're talking about bringing the ashes. Now listen, I work for FedEx, lady. I don't work for Hegdish, okay? They charge money for delivery. Now these mechatas, these were sent from the most beautiful freshwater stream. Look, if you're ready to pay 10 shekel for a bottle of mineral water, that isn't even mineral water, but they just put it through a filter. Well, let me tell you something. You're getting a great deal over here. FedEx is only going to charge you $10 for the entire package. With those $10, I mekadesh you. What does that have to do with using the mechatas? I'm charging you for delivery.
That's why it's called Mei Shiloach.
I got to hand it to you, Bernie. Man, oh man, sometimes out of left field, it leaves you stunned. Okay. Wow, great. So that is obviously worth money. I have a right to charge for that. But Khan, in the Mishnah Bechoras, where you say you destroyed the value of the Mechatas, that's talking about where you took money for the actual Hazoya, or you took money for the mixing. You know, I'm an expert mixer. I learned all the halachas. Get out of here. Those things, those are mitzvahs. You can't charge for that. As Tosfos says, Kasher Tzivani Hashem Elokai, Moshe Rabbeinu says, all of these chukim, you have to learn the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to me. Ma'ani b'chinam, avatem b'chinam. You can't charge for doing the things that are the mitzvahs that you're the judge. Oh, you know, I studied for 20 years to be a judge. So, I mean, I need to be compensated for that, don't I? So, it's like amazing. The famous Rav Avadya Bar Tanura, oh my God, on that Mishnah. So Rav Avadya Bar Tanura says, I heard absolutely scandalous things about the Ashkenazi rabbis. I heard that they charge 10 zehuvim for coming to stand in giving a get. Well, I say that that get is butel, and that those rabbis are gazlonim and chamsonim. It's like, whoa, absolutely scandalous. And they'll take it just for giving a get. That so-called rabbi, that ain't no rabbi at all. Who yodea she'in notnin get bi'iro without his rishus? So now he's basically a chamsan. You want to get? Pay. Amazing. Anyway, so this becomes a very big issue. Is he mamash a chamsan and a gazlan and he has to return the money? Or is it just that the dina verbatel? Can he charge money for wasting time that he otherwise would have? And so on and so forth. Okay, this is a big question. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin that you can't sue him for the money to get the money back. That the fact that he did an iser is no reason why. The example is, let's say somebody did work for you and he did it on Shabbos. So therefore, you don't have to pay him for the work. So, oh, no, wait a minute. You did work for me on Shabbos. I don't pay for Shabbos work. It has nothing to do with it. He said he's going to fix your car. He fixed your car. You still have to pay him for fixing your car, right? Okay, so that's that one issue. Now, the question over here is whether this essentially means, because as Rashi says, he's doing a mitzvah for somebody. How can he charge for it? So here the question is, can Doc charge for his doctoring? This is the question. Isn't it a mitzvah? There's a mitzvah of Hatzolas Nefesh. There's a mitzvah of Hashavas Haveda. Another question. Can a drug company, charge for the development of the drug on levels of profits that are not just paying you back for the outlay, but they're taking this outrageous amount of money because they want to make a few billion dollars in profits? What about over there? If you can't take something for doing a mitzvah. So this is a famous, this is the Ramban approach. Le'inyan schar refu'ah. Now the Ramban was a doctor, right? So this was very much out of his own pocket. near Eli, the mutter litov schar batalavetircha. You're allowed to take money for the fact that otherwise you'd, you know, have other things to do. So pay me for that. That's batalavetircha. But, says Ramban, what about the price of medical school? What about all the years that I put in learning to be a doctor? And now I'm supposed to be making up for all of those years. Oh, says Ramban, that's a problem. Because the schar halimud is usher to take. Because that is the same as the chiyuv to do the mitzvah, right? Like it says over here, you spent all this time learning the din of mechatas. You can't charge for that, you know, because avedas gufo is an aveda. So schar of the actual chokhmah and the schar of the limit of the chokhmah is also, because it's the same as schar hazor v'kiddush. It's the schar of the tircha, that's mutter, because that's the equivalent of our Mishnah of bringing the mechatas and bringing the efrechatas, right? So this would be the same thing. V'chein, he addresses the drug market. So he says, okay, suppose you have a drug that is not available elsewhere. Okay, so now this guy is sick. You can charge whatever you want for the drug. The guy wants to save his life. So it's osur lo lahalot d'mehem, yoter min ha-ra'ui. Not only that, even if the guy paid you the money, you can be sued to return the money that was above and beyond the market value, ein lo ela d'mehem. Okay, this is the Ramban Shita. There's a lot of discussions, obviously, in the medical magazines in Asia. There's big articles about this, the different Shitas, about how much you're allowed to recover for your medical schooling and so on and so forth, what's considered to be part of the mitzvah. But the point for Doc is to take such pride that his limud of the Chochmah is itself considered to be the semani bechinam afata bechinam. So he's been Isaac and Atzolus Nefoshes and Limut Chokhmas HaTorah his whole life, and he didn't even realize it. That's amazing. Anyway, excellent. So, says the Gemara, you can actually be medayik this from the words in the Mishnah. We're talking about two completely different cases. Our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Bechoros, where the guy's trying to take money for, well, I'm an expert mazeh, you know, I know how to do the hazoya, I know how to mix the efer para, I spent years learning all these halakhas, get out of here. Anyway, take a look at the Mishnah. If you look carefully at the lashon of the Mishnah, here, what's the lashon? For the water, the mechatas, for the ashes, which means that they haven't been mixed yet, right? And that means that you're charging for the FedEx delivery. Masha Enkein. In the Mishnah, in Bechoros, it says, lahazot, to actually do the sprinkling on you, or lekadesh, to actually put the ashes into the water. And that, indeed, is valueless. It becomes efer mikla, shma mina, hadran alacha ish mekadesh.
A bleeder. Wonderful. Or should we wait?
Well, we could just read the Mishnah. And then we can move on.
Yeah,
amazing. Doc is right there on this side. That's amazing. Okay. Omer lechavero. Guy says to his erstwhile friend. Now, this guy is not his friend anymore, but he was his friend at the time. And he says to him, you know that gorgeous blonde that I'm crazy over? Take this money. Go out to be Mekadesher for me. And he says, for him, is he crazy? He goes and he's Mekadesher to himself. What's the din? She's Mekudeshet L'Sheni. As I said, they're no longer friends. Okay, we'll get into this sugya tomorrow. Bezrat Hashem.